Welcome to Kingdom, a story by Ollie Francis. Episode 2, Leap. Winter was ending. Sap moved in the pines again, and the young bear, lifting his nose, found the sweetness of snowdrops mixing with the scent of soil warming in the pale northern sun, growing heavy with the musk of beetle and earthworm and louse. The world was thawing, and its smells, filtered through the stench of fur and misting breath inside the cave, beckoning him along the dark and winding paths of the wood beyond, onwards to the raging rivers that tore the hillside like claws cutting flesh, dividing one territory from another, this bloodwood from its brothers. If he could find the river, any river, he could follow it down to the Greatlands, and from there, somehow, find his way back to Highwood, back to Brakefoot and Greynose, to play in the shadow of the blood oak, with its huge branches stretching out a half morning's walk in any direction. The pines outside the cave paled in comparison, thin and slight, though they were still tall enough to scratch the clouds when they hung low and heavy with snow. In Highwood, the trees smelled of dry rot and leaf mulch in the spring, but here in the north the world seemed tart and sticky. Pine needles pricked his paws and clung to his fur, and more than once caused an infection that his mother had to lick every day until it healed. The winter felt long here, the days so much darker and greyer than they had been in Highwood, the nights so much longer, quieter and more hungry. He sighed, and buried himself deep into the fur of his mother's belly, back to her sour milk smell, to lose himself in the warmth of their bodies pressed close together. When they first reached the cave, exhausted from weeks on the road, they'd been happy for any sort of shelter from the northern cold. His mother was still swollen with his younger brother and had slumped in a corner, leaving Leap to give the blessing to the remains of their escort, raising his paw to each of their marks in turn and thinking how small it seemed in comparison with the dark red stain of his father's print. Most of the troop had left straight away, knowing that even a small host would attract too much attention if they lingered in one place for too long. The badger called Blackstripe had stayed with them the longest, waiting until Snowborn's eyes had opened before he too set out with the last remaining wolves, heading towards the Bloodwood sunrise border with Blackwood, where he would rally silent support among those who still wore the mark of the Great Bear of Highwood. As long as there were some who did not rush to the riverside to scrub their fur clear of the blood oak sap, then there was still hope. That's what the old badger had told them. But none of their retinue had returned, and the days grew ever shorter, and the sun dropped ever lower in the darkening sky, and the breeze brought them nothing but the blank scent of crystalline snow. The smells of the world had remained as frozen as the water in the bourne that trickled 5 steps from the cave's entrance, where a thick sheen of ice had to be cracked with their mother's heavy paw before they could drink. The daughter of Hollowtail and her cubs had been forgotten, left to freeze in a forsaken hole buried deep in an unfaithful bloodwood. Snowborn, awake now and full of energy, clambered over his brother, his hind leg pushing into the yearling's face as he made his way up onto their mother's side. Leap groaned in annoyance, but stayed where he was, pushing himself deeper into the warmth of her soft underbelly, as if he could slip back to that molten twilight that lay halfway between waking and sleeping. But his little brother was already pawing at their mother's face, using his short claws to push her lips up and away to expose the long teeth beneath, giggling to himself as her dark lips slipped beneath his paws. A moment later, she rumbled a low growl and rolled herself over, tipping Snowborn off and onto the floor, and losing Leap's warm spot forever to the chill morning air. Snowborn squealed with delight as he tumbled against the cave wall, bouncing up and around and pouncing back onto their mother's face. She was fully awake now, and the two of them rolled and swatted at each other playfully, the little bear lost against his mother's bulk. Leap scratched at the ground where she had lay, mourning the warmth of the earth that had dried out from her body heat. The mud crumbled against his claw, heat evaporating like steam when he crept from the cave to make water. He got up and hobbled over to his mother, pushing Snowborn roughly away so she could see him full in the face without interference. The day was young and the first rays of dawn had not yet made their way far into the cave. Leap had to sign his words carefully so his mother could see his movements in the dull light. "Can we go out today?" The reply came as quick as it always did. "No," she signed. "Tomorrow." The answer was always tomorrow.
"Just for a walk," he signed. "No hunting?"
"No," she signed again, though he thought the mention of a hunt had made her pause, as though she was considering its worth. It had been a long time since they had eaten, and there was no tree within sight that bore a mark of the bloodwood on its trunk. Their mother's instinct to provide for her young would be raging inside her now, he realized, and a hunt would give them meat. And a hunt would mean they could leave the cave. He prepared her a picture of such a hunt, the two of them stalking some prey together through the undergrowth, but before he could give it, Snowborn burst forward and made a running jump onto his mother, roaring wildly and tackling back her attention. The big bear whined in mock pain, falling backward as though the cub had inflicted some mortal wound upon her. Snowborn howled with pleasure at this accomplishment. He tensed and pounced, but Leap, frustrated with the interruption, caught his brother midair and in one motion threw him down and pinned him roughly to the ground. There was a squeak of pain from the cub, and suddenly Leap's world was full of his mother's teeth, her hot breath sending him scuttling backwards into the shadows. Once he was out of reach, she turned to Snowborn and nosed the little bear while Leap slunk to the back of the cave. "He's fine," the yearling signed from the darkness. His mother either didn't see or was deliberately ignoring him, too concerned with his annoying little brother to pay her eldest son any attention. Leap watched as Snowborn flopped for a moment against the bare earth, limp and unmoving. A doubt rose up that he might have been too rough with his little brother. He looked to his mother, watching as she teased his brother into moving. Then the tricksy cub, seeing his mother's guard down, sprang back to life, jumping from his feigned grave to bat her on the nose before falling back to prepare his next assault. Leap brought himself into the light. "He's fine," he signed. His mother pounced on the pup and pushed playfully against him with her paw, rolling him over and again until the cub was panting and snorting with happiness. She let him escape her grasp, and he yelped with joy, bounding over to splash in the puddle of sunlight by the cave's entrance. "He's fine," signed Leap again. His mother groaned in gentle annoyance, but Leap didn't wait for her lecture to begin. "I didn't hurt him," he signed, before she could lift a paw. He sent his mother a picture of the pounce, making sure the image he had in his mind reframed the swipe as nothing more than a mere tap on the shoulder. Behind her, Snowborn wriggled madly on his back in the patch of sunlight, swiping away the dank dust clouds that rose up around him. "The strong can wound without realizing," his mother signed, before adding, "a king should learn this."
"I don't hurt you."
"Sometimes you do." Leap bristled. He had noticed. A presence building in every limb, a strength that needed proving. But his mother still towered over him. His head barely reached her shoulder. She was invulnerable. Snowborn started hooting from his patch of sunlight. Leap and his mother turned to see.
I want a song, signed the little bear. A song, a song, he signed, slapping the words out against his body, every movement accompanied by an excited chirp. Leap responded with a trill of displeasure, low but without the solid depth of his mother's voice. He didn't want a song, at least not one sung by his mother again. I don't want a song. I want to go outside. His mother's movements became slow and clear. It's not safe.
We're days away from anywhere, signed Leap. No one will see us, please.
His mother cocked her head to one side, and he realized she shared his hunger. Tomorrow, she signed at last.
Promise, signed Leap. You have to promise.
His mother touched her mark, holding her forepaw against the fading patch of stained fur. Leap squealed with excitement.
Thank you, he signed. Thank you.
His mother cooed to calm the yearling. Careful, she signed, stepping out of his way as he bounded about her.
Sorry, thank you, sorry, thank you,
he signed, skipping between the signs so quickly that they became indistinguishable from each other. Snowborn came padding up beside the feet of his mother.
I want a song, he signed again, gently.
She hummed, giving in. The song of Footshaw the Greenmason, she suggested. Leap grunted reluctantly. It wasn't that he didn't like the song, but his mother's repertoire was limited at best. All through the winter she had danced the same songs with them, time and again, leading her cubs through the different parts until they all knew them by heart. The singers in Highwood knew the entire history of the world, and Leap had spent many evenings in the shadow of the Bloodwood tree, learning from their dances, but Footshaw the Green Mason had been sung in the cave so often that even Snowborn knew the steps.
Not a love song, he signed.
A battle dance, signed Snowborn. The traitor of the river!
Their mother motioned against it. You're both boisterous enough already, she signed.
I'll be careful, signed Leap.
The song of the Brightwood flower, signed their mother. Leap groaned again, and in response she sent him a quick, clear picture of him dancing Footshaw the Greenmason completely on his own. Fine, he signed. The Brightwood flower. Snowborn insisted that he wanted a battle song, but his older brother shoved him into silence.
You remember the steps? Asked their mother.
Leap showed her he could, and she bowed, offering Leap the sign of welcome to join her. Snowborn settled himself down to watch from a corner of the cave, giving his mother and brother as much room as possible. Ready? She signed, and Leap showed her he was by taking the pose of beginning. He closed his eyes and concentrated on the rhythm of the song, on joining his heartbeat to hers, waiting until they beat together, his mother's slow and steady, his own counting double time, and then, each moving in unison, they began. You've been listening to Kingdom, a story by Ollie Francis. To learn more, visit olliefrancis.co.uk, where you can discover how to support the project and influence where the story's going. Until then, may the gods always hear your song.